Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, dancers, comedians. Basically, if they are in show business, we are going to have them on this show. If they're working professionally, we're going to have them on here to give you all of the entertainment career advice. And what we do is we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will also be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can either listen or download any of our past shows by going to our archive page on latalkradio.com. the website, and we're on channel one, so just look for the channel one link, and then there's a drop down box and you just click Question Reality, and that takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to for free on iTunes under the podcast section and on stitcher.com. just type in Question Reality radio show in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, you will have to go to a totally different website. It is our official website, the official Question Reality website. It's questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. And that's where you can also submit, because we, as you know, if you've ever been on the show or had anyone come on the show, we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So right now we're booking for summer and fall. So get on that website and submit for consideration. If you want to promote your projects, you want to promote any kind of sales, absolutely get on. Again, questionrealityradioshow.com, and go to the contact link. I also encourage you to download our new free app. It's new in design and it's looking good and it's rocking and rolling. It is for Android and iPhone, obviously, and you can listen to all of our other exciting and informative shows on LA Talk Radio. So just go to the homepage and scroll down, and it's on the right hand side. I've gotten so many emails. I can't find it. Where's the app? I can't find it. Well, it's there. You have to look. Just scroll. I swear to God, people can't see anything. Today, Albert, I said, can you please get my gum? 4 packs of gum. I always have a pack, 4 packs, 12 pack of gum in my drawer, and it's right there. And Albert's like, I can't see it. It's not there. Oh God, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. Why do you need gum? Oh my God, people can't see. They can't see. I don't know what it is. I got 4 eyes and I can see. Maybe that's a problem. People need 4 eyes. Okay, now, oh my God, we got exciting guests on the show, as we do every week. You know, it's exciting to tune in and listen to this damn show. That's why we've been on the air for 9 years, and we have millions of listeners, and my Twitters, my followers keep going up, and I get tons of emails, and I have assistants that come and go because they can't handle the emails, but that's all right. I'm still here. We will be celebrating our 10th year anniversary next year. Very exciting. We got 2 exciting guests. Now, first-time author. If you could be in this studio to see this guy. He is one of my favorite friends. He is a hot little sexy, foot-long, flipping, fancy-free guy. His name is Mason Arglin, and he is a first-time author of the book Blazer. It's blazing. It's called Getting Ahead of the Game, G-A-Y-M-E. Very clever. Very good twist. Man First and Gay Second. Woo! Yeah! she loved the applause. See, Josh can't hear the applause over there. He's missing out. Oh, he can hear it. Oh, okay. Oh, we have Josh Rupley. Oh, gosh, I guess we should tell who all we have in there. Oh, we'll get to Josh. We also have the co-host, who is the sexy villain vixen, Pat Patterson. Yeah, Patty. Patty P. Peppermint Patty. My God, I bet you have gotten that in your younger days, right? Yeah, Peppermint Patty. I want to lick them. Yeah. All right, we're going to bed. Okay, so Pat Patterson, just exciting, 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 will be on TV tonight, March 19th at 9 p.m. She is appearing on the new ABC drama, Time After Time. Hit me with an applause on that. Yeah. Wow. That is, and what is your character, Pat Patterson?
I'm a slum landlady.
Ooh, I love that.
And I get to flirt with H.G. Wells.
Ooh, I know. Exciting.
Cute little Freddie Stroma.
Oh, my God. Well, you're going to tell us all about that show. Now, real quick, I want you to go to MasonRGlenn.com and check out his website. He's also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Basically, if you Google him, he's all over the place. But MasonRGlenn.com. And you want to check out Pat's website, patpatterson.com. Now hold on, it's not a .com. She went off the reservation on us with that extension. She went .me. .me. I didn't even know there was a .me. But I like it. I like it a lot. She's also on Facebook, and she has this production company. I love the name of her production company. Pate Productions. Yeah. PateProductions.com. She's also on Twitter under PPP Dreams and Mustard Seed TV. You. And we are going to talk to these two little hotties in a minute, but you know how I am always trying to hook you up and help you out with some advice, right? So I'm always trying to get my actor friends some jobs because, you know, they're poor as shit. So I'm always trying to help these little babies, and I'm always looking for jobs like they can do because, you know, actors have to go on auditions in the day. And so it's really hard for them to work a daytime job. So I'm always looking for jobs that are outside the box, not the typical barmaid, bartender thing, something weird and quirky. So I have found some. Okay, so wait till you hear this. There is actually a website, and they will pay you. Are you ready for this? They will pay you. It's called Rent a Friend to meet new people and find platonic companionship. It's called rentafriend.com. Rent a damn friend. Now, you know, only in California, you can rent a damn friend. You can rent everything out here. You can rent boobs. You can rent Brazilian butts. You don't have to get them. You can rent them. They sell them. But anyway, it's rentafriend.com. I'm actually thinking about checking the website out because not for the money, but just to be a friend. I want to be a friend. I want to help someone. I also want to check it out, make sure it's like legit because I don't want to be referring. Yeah, so don't. You better check it out first. I haven't checked it out. Just that's a disclaimer right there. And then also there is another cool website for actors, Pat. Spread the word on this. It's called Viggle, VIGGLE.com. Now, this website will pay you to watch TV, watch network cable, and Netflix, and they'll actually pay you. That's fantastic. So there you go. So two little tips for you actors. Get on it. Get some extra money. So buy some damn headshots. What are they, like $800 to $1,000, for God's sake?
Yep.
Last, before we start talking to my two lovelies, I have exciting news. Now, you know how I am obsessed with Honey Boo Boo. You know I am loving me some bitch, Honey Boo Boo bitch, right? So Honey Boo Boo is back on a show on the Wii channel, and it's called From Not to Hot. And it features the weight loss surgery of her mom, June Shannon. And it's not as funny as Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. It's really not. But I'm still hoping that they start redneckinizing, you know, because they're rednecks. And they got to start redneckinizing it. This show is not funny. It's going to get canceled. So you better start redneckinizing. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Honey Boo Boo is back for Honey Boo Boo. Oh my God, I was flipping out. I'm watching that show, and for entertainment, they put like oil, Wesson oil, on the floor, and they get in trash bags and they slide on the floor. That's what they do down in McIntyre, Georgia. Hey, is that what you did for fun, Mason and Matt in Georgia? Because he's from Georgia.
No, I didn't.
They also eat spaghetti with ketchup, so there you go.
It's
all right,
delicious.
But, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Oh, no! Have you eaten it?
Yeah.
That is a thing?
It's pretty good.
Oh, my
good.
God. I thought that was something
we
they
call
made
them
up.
Egg noodles, though. I grew up eating them. It's basically you scramble eggs, you cook spaghetti, put it in, and then the sauce is ketchup on top.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh, no.
Don't knock it until you
Well, I have
you. Awesome.
You obviously know by looking at me, I've got a love for the fork and spoon, right? So I'll try it. I'll try it. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Mason, Mason R. Glenn. Mason R. Glenn is an expert on the gay male dating scene, and he works as a matchmaker in Beverly Hills. As a professional matchmaker, he offers an astute perspective into the full spectrum of the gay man. And his competence, he has a competence. See, I shouldn't have hit that damn, what was it you gave me today? You gave me 4 cocktails. I can't even talk. I was hitting the wild turkey like a damn bum. I was hitting the wild turkey. I can't even talk. I wrote this. I rewrote your bio. That's probably what it is. His comprehensive dating plan and skillful matchmaking abilities. I should have Pat read this since she's an actress. Matchmaking abilities have helped him transform the lives of many people seeking a match to find and feel the full capacity of unconditional love. That's what he's done. And Mason's extreme success in gay matchmaking, and I gotta tell you, he is a friend of mine, so he is very successful. That is like legit. And it has led him to the next logical step in his career, which is to share his sage wisdom on dating via authoring his first book, again called Getting Ahead of the Game, G-A-Y-M-E, Man First, Gay Second. And Mason leads seminars that resonate as game, G-A-Y-M-E, I love that, game changers for people who are interested in being better gay men for themselves, their loved ones, and their community. Applause, yay! I'm going to fire my... Oh, Albert! Yes! It's the applause meter again, damn it! It's going to go all throughout the show. Get used to it. Also, I forgot to introduce my better half, Albert Biko, who works the board and also does the photos and videos for the show. So he is doing that right now. Now, let's talk to Mason first, and then we're going to talk to the lovely, gorgeous, sexy Patch. He's sitting here. And feel free to jump in if you have any questions. But now, as an expert gay matchmaker, where do you work? Are you allowed to tell us where you work?
Yes, I work in the like Beverly Hills, West Hollywood area.
Okay.
That's where
we're not going to talk with the name of the company. All right.
I do work for a gay matchmaking club.
Cool.
We're here in Los
Angeles.
That's why you are servicing the local community.
The expert. And why were you, Mason R. Glenn, interested? I love his name. I'm going to say Mason R. Glenn the whole time. Why were you interested in getting a job as a gay matchmaker in the first place? What drove you?
I think when I came out here, I started in the entertainment industry, and then I realized that, you know, my skill set is not here. It's to hopefully empower individuals in some way. And that's when I just started poking around, and I found, you know, an opportunity to be an intern for a matchmaking company. And that's when I thought, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice. I've always been very intuitive with people. I've always kind of just been able to really spearhead what they're communicating, whether it's very apparent or not. And then finally, I just kind of got the job. I was two of 200 applicants that got the internship. And I just thought it was almost kismet. It was meant for me to do this. So I kind of just like worked my way up the industry. I got an opportunity to work with a local agency that basically was mostly working with the heterosexual community. And they say, well, Mason, you're gay. We think that you're doing a really great thing for the company that you're currently working for. Like, can we acquire you and help you develop our, you know, our gay brand? And I said, sure. So I thought it was a great idea for me to kind of, you know, be a young entrepreneur, kind of being able to stylize a company on my own image and that type of thing, working with the owners closely on that. And that's just kind of inspired me to continue going into that career.
I get a lot of questions, like I'm the expert. I don't know why they're asking me, but I get a lot of questions about gay dating versus heterosexual dating. What's the difference? Now, I just can't.
Yeah, I see that. I hear that a lot. I will say, well, there's a couple things that, you know, gay men worry about that, you know, obviously the heterosexual community doesn't do or doesn't have to worry about. But I think mostly with the straight community, it's mostly about, you know, religion, and it's also how they want their kids to be raised. And also there is the kid situation, too. So that throws kind of a wrench into people's timelines sometimes. And that puts a lot of, you know, social pressure on certain things. But with gay guys, we don't really have that pressure. You know, there is some gay guys who have that preference. And that's why, you know, working with a matchmaking company, you definitely can you definitely can put that out in the open. And if that preference is there. But what I will say is, you know, gay men, we're typically a little bit more open to dating. We typically give more the benefit of the doubt. You know, we obviously there is ageism and there's judgments there. But, you know, especially in the straight community, you know, if you have a woman who's over 35 and you have a guy who's over 40, you know, 45, he only wants to date the under 35 year old because, quote unquote, I want a person who can have more kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on certain things. And, you know, we're all here like goo-goo-eyed and like wide-eyed and everything, like that doesn't make sense, but to people that makes sense to them.
Sure. Yeah.
And you do a lot of your matchmaking through what's called compatibility assessments.
Right.
What is that? Yeah. Like, so, what would you...
So for I specifically...
Pat and I want to know. Okay,
I really want to know that one.
Yeah. What goes on? What are these compatibility assessments?
I think working in a people business, you know, I basically get, you know, a lot of qualitative and quantitative data in front of me. Basically, you know, their ethnicity preferences, their height preferences, you know, what their lifestyle is like, that type of thing. And, you know, underneath the microscope with my book, I definitely look under certain things that I see a lot in interviews because we are an in-person platform. We're not online. We're not in a dating application of any kind. So what I will say is I think lifestyle with gay men is really, really important. And I think it also I can attribute that to the straight community. You know, what do they label as fun? What do they do on their downtime? Are they like a Netflix and chill type person? Or do they want to be out and about at an event, at networking? Do they want to do something more active? Are they like surfing on weekends with their friends and family, that type of thing? And like, you know, it is a preference at the end of the day. I also look at, you know, the introvert and extrovert balance. You know, on a scale from 1 to 10, if we have a person being very introverted at a 1 and then we have a person who's very extroverted at 10, I typically say you want to match someone who's a little bit more similar in about a 3 to 4 range. So a 3 and a 6 or a 3 and a 7 would be a great mm-hmm. match because, you know, the 7 is going to be kind of being told to be more reserved from the third person, from the number 3. And then the number 3 also is going to feel a little bit more, oh, I can do this. I can be more gregarious. I can be social without it being a 10 where they're going to feel overwhelmed. Mm. And if there's too much space in that, then the other person on the other side, he's going to feel that the person's boring or just it's just not a good fit.
Now, if I can ask a question
sure.
in terms of age, you mentioned it with men, and I have a friend who is a millionaire matchmaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you find that same kind of age restriction in the gay community? That
there is that. You know, we do have, you know, I'm just speaking of a cliche here, but, you know, the 50-year-old wanting the 20-something, the hot 20-something. And that's just something that I
well,
don't...
that's within the heterosexual yeah. community.
Just
they're, yeah. they're beyond wanting 20. They're into the teens. They want
right.
to... Yeah.
I think I do see that cliche in a lot of people and in a lot of, I will say, you know, gay humor. There is that type of implication there. But, you know, I definitely look at the book. I look at a 10-year pretty much age difference at most, because you're 50% more likely to stay in a relationship that way. And that's kind of like what I look at. You know, my compatibility assessment is that, you know, you have generational differences if it passed over 10. You know, is one person going to be talking about the Spice Girls, the other person to Earth, Wind, and Fire? Like, that's just, that can be a little weird to some people. And maybe that's, you
and
know.
And yet, people who are looking for younger people, they it's so visual,
right.
And especially men are more visual, I think, than women. So they want to see the youth, but they don't think about how there usually isn't that much in common beyond the lust factor.
And a lot of those guys who are older, in their minds, they think that guys that are their age are like boring, fat, etc. They have this preconceived notion in their head. But mind you, because I have the gift of interviewing everyone in person, there's a lot of guys who are around 45 plus who are actually more gregarious than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're much more active. They look better than I do. I mean, age is honestly
okay, I'm
just
sorry, that's really
number.
Hard to believe.
I know, that is hard, but you're just really going crazy now, Mason.
Well,
nobody
I mean,
looks better than you, boy. Let me just tell you.
You're very kind, thank you.
But I see what you're saying. And you know what amazes me, Pat, and I bet you've experienced this too. Older men, whether gay or heterosexual, older men who are like 50, 60, 70, I swear there's some sort of thing where they actually think that they can get a teen and 20-year-old. Like, they don't even think that they can't. They will go up and start chatting it up. And they don't even think that there's a possibility that those old wrinkly asses, those old wrinkly meat suits they got on, that they're just not attractive. They don't see it in their mind. I have so many older friends that want younger women. They're like, oh, Priscilla, hook me up with your friend. And my friend's like in her 20s. And they don't even think.
Oh, I haven't run into that much.
Oh,
I've run into men who want younger women by a long shot.
Yeah.
And vice versa. But
oh, yeah. They still think they can get them because in their mind, they still think they're in their teens or 20s.
Well, I have trouble with men that lie about their age. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
This
we're
going to
see it.
You never want to lie. I mean, once you lie
and then
you cross that line with a woman, she's going to think you're going to lie
again.
And again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in general. Now, Mason, you write a truly, I mean, sincerely, a truly wonderful weekly dating advice column. I get your emails every week. I have to read them. And I'm not going to even specify that its focus is on gay relationships, because the advice that you provide, because I read your column every week, is extremely relevant, I find, to any type of dating relationship. I really do. You give advice that can be...
I really try to write it that way.
You really do. You cover the gambit. You really do. Now, you're really sensitive, and you're keen, and you're insightful, and I really feel that you can touch on many demographics. Like, I think not just gay, heterosexual. In your writing, you've touched upon people who are in different financial and social arenas too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend that people check out your column, whether you're gay or straight. So my question would be, how did the column come about? Did they ask you to do that, or was that something you came up with?
I think this is something I came up with. You know, gay guys, they want to learn more. I think that's really great about our demographic, is the fact that, you know, sometimes when we get to that point in our life, and I call it the switch in my book, you know, you're really able to be like, you know, maybe I don't know have all the answers. Maybe I should think outside of the box, because I keep getting the same result over and over again, doing the same thing. And, you know, I allude to it in my book. I say, you know, it just seems like people are putting their hand on the stove and they're expecting the stove not to be hot.
Right.
But they keep putting their hand on the stove, expecting it otherwise. That just sounds like an addiction behavior to me. They're doing the same exact thing and expecting something different.
Right.
So at what age are you finding, or is there an age where someone that's been putting their hand on the stove finally goes, oh, my Lord, I have got to figure this out. Is it a younger demographic?
Usually, I do see the switch that I've alluded to around the age of usually the early 30s, mm-hmm. early mid-30s. I see it in gay men specifically. I will say age is just a number too. There's some guys that go through it. You know, they've been in a relationship for, 10-plus years, and so they start from square one once they break up with that person.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of start everything over again when it comes to, like, you know, if they want to go through a quote-unquote slut phase, like, do they want to get that out of their system? You know, do they not care anymore?
They want to ride the pony!
Ride the bony pony!
Yeah. Yes!
But to your question, I think I just enjoyed hearing conversations with work, and mm-hmm. I think people always want to know, you know, what's going on in your office. I want to know everything. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I just put like a pen to paper and just see if people would feel the need to know more. I just kind of put it out there. And I think also coming from marketing and branding strategy, you want to keep talking to your audience.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all about that social engagement.
And you're creating such a social media digital footprint by doing that, because I would imagine your email contact list is just growing.
It is growing. And that's something that, you know, our reach, you know, we have to kind of balance things because we are only here in Los Angeles serving, seeing the, you know, the gay male market. So, you know, it's great that we have leads in New York and in, you know, Wisconsin and things like that. That's, we're very happy for that, but we can't really help those people because we're a localized agency.
Now, I want everyone to have access to your column. How can they do
that? So I do write for Gay Matchmaking Club. You can just basically go to the Gay Matchmaking Club website. It's gaymatchmakingclub.com, and it just says subscribe to our newsletter, and you can literally just put in your email, hit the button, and then you're subscribed.
Okay.
I think I actually have one coming out today. I think I'll probably send it out around 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that new one will be
available. You have to, people. Whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, or there are like some other things going on now. There's like a whole bunch of different sexual pluses. So no matter what you are, Mason can answer your question. Now, I want to know, what is your favorite dating advice?
Gosh.
Pat wants to know.
I want to know this one.
People tell me that all the time, and it kind of changes. But I think what I've been sticking to lately is really enjoy giving to your partner without any type of expectation. And if you're both giving to each other, whether that's your time or a gift or anything of that nature, and not expecting anything in return, I think you just come into this culmination of relationship where you just feel like you're rewarded all the time because you see the other person feeling excited and happy to receive something, and then they're giving you something. So it's just this never-ending billowing of positive reinforcement.
I heard, I hate to ask you this because it could be wrong, but I heard from my other gay friends that gay men, because this particular man was married for a long time.
Right.
He came out of the closet, and when he entered the gay dating world, he said that he found gay dating, that the men were very selfish.
Yes, there is that.
What is that? What does that mean?
So basically, and also towards the last chapter of my book, I basically quantified 9 men into 9 types of dating archetypes, basically, for gay men. And there's one of those archetypes where he is that selfish person. You know, I call him a party hardy uncommittable. Mm. He's the guy that basically is like, you know, Sunday selfieing like with like a tank top and like is like already tanked at like 1 p.m.
He's a damn Kardashian
kind
in disguise.
Yeah. And he has full face, like everything is like ready to go. And then people see that behavior as being selfish and pretentious.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's what we gay men do great. I mean, our whole lives have been based on judgment. So why would we stop there? We judge
and looks,
other people.
Because you got to keep yourself looking like a million, because that's what they want, right?
So that would probably be, you know, I understand where those people are coming from. And also you have to look at it, you know, are they really looking at the right people?
Yeah.
Are they looking for the right people?
You mentioned about them coming out. Do you find that you do this work with people? What is the difference with someone who's just come out and is entering the gay dating world?
Well, I always tell them, go through a slut phase if you need it. Because I think gay men, we need to know how to be gay men in a physical sense, too. And that can be scary because a lot of those men, regardless of age, they've been hiding a lot. Mm-hmm. And so they need to get out of that mentality and not hide anymore. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend that. Some people don't need it, but I feel like a lot of gay men do. And sometimes that slut phase will be a week. It could be a year. It could be more.
But always cover your...
Yes.
Protection.
Your ankle spanker.
Well...
Cover
I always
your
say
ankle
be responsible
spanker.
And have a conversation.
Well, that's what a gay man's looking for, an ankle spanker. A woman can't handle an ankle spanker, but a gay man, they're like, bring it on. Yeah. Let's ride them up. But yes, always the slut phase, please always wear a condom.
I mean, in the LGBT Center will definitely tell you, they'll give you the whole spiel, and I definitely tell everyone, you know, if you know your partner and you want to, you know, have a monogamous exclusive relationship with them, have a conversation. And I think gay men, we have that.
So and just, get your case of boy butter. You cannot be participating.
You've been trying to get me that boy butter for years.
I've been trying to give me that boy butter.
I'm waiting for my like shipment at my house. My crate.
I'm going to
There's going to be a crate of it.
Yes.
It's going to be delivered one day.
Yes.
It'll be great.
E.O. Feldman, a friend of mine, started that company. It's very, very successful. It's a multi-million dollar corporation. And it's not just for homosexual men. I have referred my heterosexual friends, and they're like, yes, it works very, very well. So there you go, blindbuyer.com. Now, let's talk a little bit about, because I get so many questions, as I told you before, about first-time authors. A lot of people are finding it easier to self-publish versus trying to find an agent or a publisher. So you went through that.
Right.
What is the process like?
So I guess a brief synopsis would be you want to have a subscriber list. It's kind of like, you know, when you're an actor, you want to have an actor's resume. So for an author, your resume is your subscriber list, is your social media following. That gives you the quote unquote clout that allows other people to look at you like a professional. So, and you know, very fortunately, I had that because I had been writing for so long and people were responding well to my material. And so I just started, you know, putting out my proposal to people, and I got some great responses. Mind you, you know, I probably put it out to 100 people and I got maybe 4 or 5 bites. And most of those bites were, they're what's called a hybrid publisher. So they're the kind of people where you obviously pay a small investment and then they give you the full gambit of what you need to make your book successful. So they give you the editing, they give you the printing, anything that you can think of, that's what they utilize that for. So
they cover everything.
They cover everything.
The photo shoot for your picture.
I did that myself. That's what I did myself. The things like that are kind of just like mainly like.
But people are kind of scared of, oh my God, a fee up front. How do you know when you've got a legit company? Like obviously
you really have to do your research. And you know, with my publisher, you know, if I were to do it again, I probably wouldn't be with them because I honestly didn't know.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what we do. But, you know, hybrid publishing is definitely a model that is introduced to people because I don't have 4 books behind my belt.
Right.
So a book house like, you know, Random House or Penguin or that type of thing, they're not going to look at me because I'm just some schmuck that.
Yeah.
You know, and I also have to think about my niche. You know, mm-hmm. The LGBT literature market is really, really small.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When I was writing my proposal, basically, I went to the local Barnes & Noble and I did research. I was like, well, what's my competition? And the fact is I don't have much because there's not much out there. You know, it's within a shelf, within one shelf. That was all the LGBT literature out there. So the good news is that if I nail this book and it does really well, I have a full monopoly because I'm like one of a kind.
Right.
So that's also the research that I had to put into that and how I proposed this.
Right.
You know, I definitely wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be some glorified self-help book, because if I was presented like that, I would be swept under the rug really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to basically know that my book is not going to be, it is available at the Barnes & Noble and Books A Million database and that type of thing, which is great, but I know my book is probably not going to be sold there. It's going to be sold like on Amazon. It's going to be sold at like those mom and pop LGBT bookstores that stand behind my material. That's where I'm going to monetize. So you kind of have to figure out who's my audience, really spearhead that, and you stay away from being general as much as possible.
Yeah.
Like, know who's buying your book and that type of thing.
And also, you talked about your social media footprint.
Right.
That is so important, even for actors.
Absolutely.
It's just important in our society now, whatever we do.
Right.
And I know a lot of agents, you know, I have a couple friends that are, you know, in the industry, mm-hmm. and now their agents are saying to them, get your social media following up. I mean, when I first, you know, kind of, I don't even want to say I was a professional, but I tried it for like at least a year or two when I was out here in LA. You know, that wasn't even an issue. It was like, how many co-stars, guest stars do you have? Like, what is your
how many followers
experience?
Do you have? Yeah.
Now it's like your Twitter followers. I'm like, does that really matter?
Yes, it's
when it
free
comes
advertising.
To talent.
If I'm a producer, and
so
if I have 2 equal actors, you know, talent, I'm going to always pick the best talent, obviously. It's going to be, who's going to help me push this project?
Right. Who's going to help me promote it?
Right. Who's going to help me promote it?
Right.
And if you have, you know, 500,000 and you have 122, it becomes a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And everybody wants you to do all the work for them. Like, even if you're a musician, there is no thing where they front you money anymore and mm-hmm. they, like, cover your photo shoot and they cover your band and rehearsal time. They want you to come to them with a full album, everything done. And it's like, okay, well, maybe. Same with an actor. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a talent manager, they want to see what are you doing on your own. You better be out there stomping the payment and doing it. You don't sit by the phone and wait for somebody to call you. You got to be out there doing it. And the same with becoming a writer. The social media digital footprint is so important. So a lot of people think they just are going to jump and self-publish. A lot of people. I went to dinner with someone a couple months ago, and and they didn't want to self-publish because they did that before and nothing happened with that book. And it's like, well, why didn't anything happen? Did you market? Did you network? Did you brand? Did you this? No. And it's so important. I stress this every week, and I swear to God, I don't understand. You have to, when you are branding and marketing, you have to be consistent with your name. You cannot have 5 different names. People need to be able to Google you and find you. You cannot be johnsmith.com and the website, and then on Facebook, johnpinkysmith.com or smell me up or, you know, I'm the biggest on Twitter. You can't have different names, because once you start doing that, you are going to lose your audience. It has to be consistent. johnsmith.com on Twitter, John Smith on Facebook. Even as a writer, you can't, you know, they have a lot of things called pseudonyms, or people do pen names or things like that. Well, that's fine, but you don't do that until you are established. Like, who is that big, the murder mystery guy that writes those novels, those horror novels? Like
the horror novel? Oh, you mean what, Stephen King?
King. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But when you're starting out, don't be changing your name and have like all these different names, because people get confused and they will not be able to find you. And
I will speak to that. You said, why is it Pat Patterson, not me? Pat Patterson is a wrestler. A little older than I am, from Canada, named Pierre Clement, for some reason decided to call himself Pat Patterson, wore pink tights in the 70s, and only recently announced he was gay. Was I the only one in 1977 that knew this man was gay?
No!
See? So I don't have Pat Patterson on my Twitter because
he was way out there in front, years ahead of me, so I had to grab it. But that's why it's very important, young people, when you're starting out, get your branding down, figure out what it's going to be, and it has to be consistent. You can't go from Cher and then call yourself Sherry 10 years later, or Madonna, change it to Daisy. No, you got to be consistent.
Can I ask him a question about how long did you work on this book?
It took me about a year and a half from start to finish. Mm-hmm. It took me about a year to write it. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty vigilant about taking the time to really sit down and write the material. I basically spent almost a month in the Pacific Northwest, and I wrote a good chunk of it.
And speaking of, it is coming out!
Yeah.
Oh my God! Applause meter! Applause! You're like in a daze over there. He has his very first, correct me if I'm wrong, your very first book launch on Saturday, May 25th,
right.
March 25th, March 25th,
yeah.
At Rockwell.
Yes.
And you have to be there. If you haven't gotten your tickets, go to...
It's just, I think it's rockwellla.com.
Yeah.
You could probably just
or go
Google
to Mason's
go to your
website.
Website.
Go to
I saw
your website.
It. Yeah.
You
got to
be there. I'm going to be there. If you want to meet me, I'll be there. Albert, I'll be there. And then your next one is on... And then your next one is on April 1st.
In Pasadena.
And real quick, I want to get to some questions.
Okay.
And we got to squeeze Pat in there. We got to squeeze the mustard seed in there. I had tons of people respond to me via email when I sent out the promotion that you're going to be on there. Real quick, 1 minute. Brad from Ashtabula, Ohio. Oh, my God. Never heard of that. Hey, Mason, why aren't there any commercials for gay matchmaker services on television? I don't know if that's a question for Mason.
I mean, I will say the gay demographic, we're not really represented in sometimes the best light. Sometimes we're represented as like a cliche for a lot of people. However, you know, speaking of like the past, you know, 5 years, there's so many more gay characters on TV, but this is new.
Willie Grace is coming back.
I know.
If we look at things... That is new for us, gay. That's new for the LGBT community in general.
Yeah.
So I think it's slowly coming.
But there's like no commercials at all.
But
you
see
eHarmony, right?
I did an Our Time commercial.
Christian singles or mingles.
I will say, with our company specifically, the reason why we don't market too much is most of our referrals are via word of mouth, or organic means. So that actually gives us more filtration.
Because you're upper echelon.
Well, not upper echelon. More or less, it allows us to be more of like a filter for things.
Okay.
Yeah.
This next question is Alistair from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Why isn't there any LA people? Okay. Alistair from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. He says, hey, Mason, I'm over 50, and after being married for over 25 years, I recently came out to my family and friends. Obviously, most of them are straight, and the ones that remain my friends tell me that it's really hard for them to find compatible mates, and that it's even harder in the LGB plus community for men my age and where I live. Is that true? I haven't had any luck finding a matchmaker service that would cater to my age group and where I live. What can I do?
Well,
that's a long email.
I'll say, you know, I applaud him for, you know, actually coming out, because that means that he's actually been truthful to himself and he's going to live to his fullest life now.
Yeah.
I mean, really, congratulations on that. You know, that 50-year-old demographic,
congratulations, Alistair.
They face so much ageism in our whole entire, you know, community. And where is he from again?
Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
So Pennsylvania.
Middle of the state.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there you
God
go.
God knows where Beaver Falls is.
He has a lot of sociographic, probably, prejudices and that type of thing. But I will say, you know, at this time, you know, date lightly. You know, definitely realize that things are going to be hard. They're not going to be easy. And he's learning to be a new person at, you know, 50 years old, or however you said, the 45 plus. So hopefully that answered his long question. I think so. Okay.
I read something about a 95-year-old man coming out.
That's great.
It was an article.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Good for him. Yeah.
He might need boy butter. Okay. So, Colin from Biscayne Park, Florida. Hey, Mason, there's been practically every type of show. Is this another show? Oh. Hey, Mason, there's been practically every type of show you can imagine on television, specifically cable, but I've never seen any about older gay relationships. Why isn't this topic focused on in Hollywood? Why isn't our demographic being represented? I think we covered that question, didn't we?
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Colin.
But I will say, you know, we're in Hollywood. We're focused on pretty things. Mm-hmm. And youth is pretty to people. Mm-hmm. You know, but however, working with a matchmaking company, working with a gay expert like myself, you know, I see the pretty in people that are, you know, regardless of age.
Yeah.
So I think for him, you know, he has to just basically focus on being realistic with his expectations.
Focus on just having a friend. My God, if you're that damn old, what can you do anyway?
Building community as much as he can.
What? I'm talking about a man, not a woman. You know, we are totally lubricated all up into our 60s. All right, last one, Peyton from Sacramento. Oh, we got a California. Peyton from Sacramento, California. Hey, Mason, do you have any advice on how to conquer first date jitters? I always get so nervous and can't make eye contact. I've heard from mutual friends that's why I can't get a second date. Oh,
confidence is something that is so important as gay men, because we are men at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So if anything, if that's something that you're struggling with, find opportunities in your own community. Maybe it's networking groups or that type of thing, to practice being more extroverted or more type A without it being overwhelming to somebody. So I will say, you know, what's really great is, you know, confidence as opposed to being like, what are you doing this weekend? That type of thing, having that aloof behavior. He should just be like, you know what? I'm going to take you to this restaurant, 7 o'clock. I'll see you then. They have a great margarita. I can't wait to share it with you.
Yeah.
You know, something simple like that speaks volumes to
And people tend to forget that we all have something that's so unique about us, and focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, share that.
And actually call the person. Don't text them. Yeah. Like, pick up the damn phone.
Yes.
Right?
Pick up the phone. And practice. Sit in front of a mirror and try to, I know this sounds weird, but this isn't technique. Viola Spolin, an actor technique. Sit in front of the mirror and look in the mirror for 5 minutes and don't divert your eyes. It really is crazy, but usually
most people will be reduced to tears doing that.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Very emotional thing.
Especially if I know. All right, so we're going to come back to Mason. Pat Patterson.
Woo.
Applause, real quick. Pat Patterson. Yes! Okay. All right, cut. All right, Pat Patterson is an accomplished actress as well as an award-winning producer. Giving her a unique perspective on storytelling, she is the founder and president of Pate Productions, an independent production company, which has created a short, A Younger Man, that is used as part of Hospice's Elephant in the Room series, exploring the theme of what are your options when life cheats you out of health. Junction, a winner of 17 major festival awards, as well as being named by IndieWire one of the top 5 best first features in 2013. And again, patpatterson.me. And you are out here, girl. And what she's doing, she is from New York, but she is out here promoting the mustard seed. And real quick, tell us, it's a scripted television show, but basically you are out here promoting.
Looking for money.
Looking for money. So tell us about, first about, what is the mustard seed about?
The mustard seed is it's a storyline about my character, because I'm going to produce work for myself and try to maintain it, who loses everything in her life that's important to her, and including her faith and hope. And God, who dresses up as the man in the hat, I think James Spader in the Blacklist, brings her back around, sending her an angel named Howard, who likes cake and wears suspenders and has a beard, and a young man who's a healer who happens to have Down syndrome. And they show her a separate spiritual dimension, which is where people come, Man in the Hat delivers them, for near-death experiences, where they're either going to go forward into eternity or they're going to go back and take care of business. Mm. And it's those stories, because in the United States, every day, it's estimated there are 774 near-death experiences. That's 282,000 a year.
Yeah.
Since they've been 1975, coined the phrase, that's over 23 million storylines out there. Mm-hmm. So I had been in Orlando pitching it to the faith-based community. And it's not, I don't want it to be a faith-based thing. I don't need to preach to the choir. I want to preach to people. I want them to walk away and go, oh my gosh, there is life after life. Because that's what all NDEers, as they're called, say when they come back. They know that there's life after life, and they're not afraid to die.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to be able to walk around with that thought in my mind.
Right?
And that many of them, if they have that spiritual bent, come back knowing that God knows them and loves them. I could be very happy telling, let people discover that through my ability to storytell,
right,
through narrative storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So the people in Orlando, I mean, have pushed me up the food chain to the real people in this part of the country who can make it happen. And that's why I'm out here to take those meetings and to escape the snow in New York.
Of course. That's for sure. Now, what is the administrative process from inception to fruition on getting meetings with producers and studios to pitch your film? Because that's really hard. You just don't, people don't be packing up your damn trash bags with $50 in your pocket coming out to LA to try to pitch your damn film. It's not going to happen. There's preparation.
It's networking.
Yes.
Over the
How
last...
do you get these meetings? Because it's hard to get a meeting with.
Well, you get known in the industry for your work. You know, A Younger Man was something I put out there. It's a short film based on the short story my daughter wrote that, again, I starred in. I'm no fool. And you have
gotta
to do it.
Pioneer
got
to your own path.
That's right. And so, you know, to see the quality of the work, you network. I'm part of the Faith and Film Breakfast Club in Nashville. Like, that's not inconvenient to go to breakfast in Nashville once a month.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you have to get to know the players in this part of the world. I've been out here. I've lived out here. Just getting to know people and networking and being who you say you are and being trusted.
Right.
You know, they can look at my acting work, but as a producer, I don't have a whole lot. I produce theater, but nobody can see that because
right,
it's done. But just that my word is something.
Credibility.
The
your
credibility.
Word
the, you
is
know, the four
everything.
Agreements. That's it.
You know, real quick, if you don't have credibility, you basically are the poorest person on the planet. Because if you had billions of dollars, right, and everything was taken away from you and you were put out in the middle of bumfuck USA, you had nothing and you had to start to build your empire again. How do you think you would build it?
Yeah.
You'd build it on your word.
On your word.
You could go from nothing, and if your word is credible, you could get everybody to help you.
And every single person
word is gold.
Every single person I went to when I started to want to pitch this project, and we made this short, it was a sort of a trailer to introduce the characters that I went to, and I said, here's the list of people I want to get in front of. These are the people that are the players that can make this happen. Do you know anyone on the list? And they'd recommend, and will you recommend me? And they would send out an email, they'd make a phone call, and that's how I got the meetings that have led to the next set of meetings, just
and
by doing that.
Right, Mason, did you want to contribute to this?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, credibility, and also just spending time with people that are a lot like yourself. and also believe in the brand that you're voicing. That's really huge. I mean, I'm going to go to a lot of gay networking groups because that's how I get clients. That's how, that's the person who's going to buy my book, right. That type of thing.
That's right. So you're out here for 3 weeks, Pat, pitching and rocking and rolling.
I am. I got my little convertible. The hoodie's down. It's just
Oh my God. Well, I'm telling you, the mustard seed, it sounds like something I'm interested in.
Well, it's going to be great.
Where can we learn more about the mustard seed? Is it on your website? You got a separate one?
We have a website. Not yet. We're building that because things sort of started
rolling.
How are
you going to raise funds? Or are you already made it? It's already done.
It's an 11-minute short that introduces the main characters that will
But it's going to be a feature.
But it's going to be a TV show.
Oh, it's going to be a television show.
A weekly procedural.
Oh, so this is a sizzle reel.
It's a sizzle reel, yeah. It basically shows the quality of our work.
Oh, that's
great. And the characters that we want to have populated. Yeah. And I have my treatment of who I think that they would cast. And my first
So it's going to be
a weekly thing with different
almost
stories.
Almost like a Touched by an Angel.
No, it's Touched by an Angel, Joan of Arcadia and Quantum Leap sort of all rolled into
I'm
one.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. I love those type of shows. Yeah. And I'm an atheist. And I don't care. I watch all kinds of shows. I might come back from the dark side, people. I don't
it's
know.
Not a dark side. It's a different place.
It's more scientific. But I want to talk to you because I want to turn you on to this television show that's currently accepting pitches for our show. So we'll talk after the show. Mason, thank you so much for coming on this show. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. We can't wait to see you at Rockwell March 25th. And then April the 1st, you're going to be
in Pasadena. And all that details can be found on my social media.
Go to his social media. He's everywhere. Where do you see this guy? He's so gorgeous.
And my book can be found on Amazon. It is available now.
Everywhere.
Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. You just have to check for availability. And also all of my digital downloads are available. Google Play, Amazon Kindle, that type of thing.
Mason R. Glenn. Yes. Oh, he's also, there was some sort of Robin Glenn. I don't know what's going on with that, but there's some Robin
For
Glenn.
Confidentiality. I have confidentiality.
Okay, I don't
nephews.
Know. But if you hear that, that's Mason in disguise. Mason R. Glenn. And the gorgeous, Pat Patterson. We want to look for the mustard seed, so when we get to that point, come back.
I will.
We can do a remote show, or if you're here, we'll do it.
I like having him here all the time.
All right, sweetie. All right, well, thank you everybody for tuning in. We'll see Pat and Mason down the road. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.